You are listening to Musings and Magic on the Rewild and Free podcast.
Welcome to Musings and Magic. I'm Lauren Fortuna Flock. I'm a mother, doula, the host of the Well-Nourished Mother podcast, and a somatic matrescence guide. I support mothers through the waves of intensity motherhood brings so they can fall in love with the mother they are and the mother they're becoming.
And I'm Nicole Pasvier, a mom, wife, and host of the Rewild and Free podcast. I help women awaken beyond the conditioning that's been keeping them pretty perfect and pleasing so that they can live more consciously, mother intuitively, and grow their business holistically.
We've never met in real life, and we live 700 miles apart.
But we've been holding space for each other virtually since 2022, when we found each other in super similar seasons of life.
Yeah, we were both in our retiring from a super secure nursing job, in the thick of postpartum, and starting a heart-led business era. We found ourselves chatting for hours on Zoom almost weekly, having the deep, why isn't anyone talking about this conversations around all things motherhood and conscious entrepreneurship.
So we started recording these unfiltered and unscripted conversations to bring you this co-created series. We're inviting you in with deep trust that you'll receive whatever insight, wisdom, or solidarity you need in this season, because we all know motherhood and entrepreneurship are lonely as fuck.
Yeah, we're blending our musings with a touch of magic, the kind of woo-woo, more spiritual, witchy stuff that we're both so curious about, but don't fully relate to.
Yet.
Our intention is to invite more ritual into our lives, so we're using this series to anchor into the cycle of the moon, meeting on the full and new moons of each month. We'll do an energy check-in and explore nuanced conversations around big topics related to cyclical orientation, feminine embodiment in business and motherhood, and our own personal explorations related to reclaiming our inner witch.
So if you're ready to come laugh, learn, and reflect with us, then keep listening. But first, we invite you to take the deepest breath you've given to yourself yet today. And when you're ready, let's go.
We made it.
What is this? This is our June new moon episode, and we are finally joining together like 4 days late. We've literally tried to meet 4 days in a row, and life has just been lifing as it always does. And like we have both been very firm in like the boundary of not wanting to force this and not wanting to make this series feel like an obligation. And so we really kind of softened into, okay, like, so we try again tomorrow, or like we just let this be late, or we potentially let us like skip this episode. And so, I mean, here we are, we're not skipping it. We're here, but it is 4 days late, 5 days late, 4 days late. I don't know. And that's totally okay. We were just starting to talk off air. I feel like we're like radio hosts.
My inner child really liked that comment. I got like a burst of excitement when you said that. That's so fun.
It actually does help to kind of like jump into that identity. Like it just allows to be so much lighter and playful and but yeah, before hitting record, I was just kind of reflecting on what my week has been like, because we had a chat together last Tuesday, and I feel like we're both kind of experiencing some like buzzy energy and some momentum and like some real change kind of happening in our lives and our business. And for myself, I'm now noticing that like all of that change and all of that decision making that needs to happen on my end is feeling really, really big. And yeah, kind of just spiraling into anxiety because of it.
And for me, I just feel like I've been so busy the whole last week. Like since we talked last, I feel like I haven't had a moment to breathe really. And I mean, with things of my own making, you know, and family stuff and fun things and all of that. But yeah, it feels really full right now.
I was just about to use the word full too. Like I feel like I relate to that busyness, but the busyness doesn't necessarily feel like chaos. It just feels, full. And not a lot of, I guess, like spaciousness to pause and breathe and I mean, kind of having that recognition right now, like that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's up to us to create those pauses. So maybe this is an invitation to even like use this time together, like a bit of a pause, a bit of a reset, an opportunity to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was reading a little bit about what this new moon in June, Gemini new moon, is all about. And one line stood out, just kind of in relation to what you just shared. Where is it? That during this season, feeling a bit buzzy and scattered is normal. And that many tend to think of new ways to understand the world, socialize with others, and learn about new topics. And that this influx of information can be overwhelming if you're used to sticking to what you know and not pushing against the status quo. I feel like we're both used to pushing against the status quo, but I can definitely like resonate with like the buzzy and scattered feelings. I feel like I have kind of like so many, I don't know, it's like there's just so many threads right now that are being pulled on, and it's it's almost like overwhelming to decide like which one needs to be priority and which one needs to be tended to. So they're all kind of just like there in the back of my head at like all times. Like even here's a silly example. I have this like 30 before 30 bucket list that I created last year because I'm turning 30 this month. And so there's a bit of disappointment because I haven't crossed many of the things off the list. There's also just like peace and trust that like it wasn't the right time and that like I can still do it anytime. There's no urgency there. It's just this made up list. But one of the things was to finally like learn how to bake sourdough. And so I told one of my friends this, and she doesn't make sourdough herself, but she's like, well, I think I know a bunch of people that can like at least get you a starter. So she arranged with one of her friends, so a person that I don't know, to get me a starter, and I picked it up from her this week. So I now have this like sourdough starter that I've put in the fridge because from my understanding, I can kind of like let it hibernate there. But like that every time I open my fridge, I now see this cute little mason jar with this like fully alive sourdough starter. And it's just like staring at me to like, use me, like let's work together. And it's like I don't have the capacity for you right now. So it's that duality of like excitement and desire to want to try that new thing, and also the lack of capacity to actually do it. So the frustration that comes with that, and then also the anxiety of trying a new thing because I actually have no idea what I'm doing. And every time I look into, okay, how do I actually make a fucking sourdough loaf, the recipe, the instructions look so overwhelming. I think it's one of those things that I either need someone to do it with me the first time, or I need to watch like buttloads of YouTube videos. And like, again, I just don't have the capacity for that. So
I'm laughing over here because I did like a very similar thing. And this was very early in postpartum. Like I think I was probably, it was summer. So it must've been the summer I had Zoe.
Or maybe so literally the next Zoe would have been a couple months old.
Yeah, like a couple months old. And I was like, I want to pop on this sourdough. But I think now when I look back, it's like, did I really want to make sourdough? Or was I falling into this trap of like, this is the good crunchy, scrunchy, whatever label mom thing to do. Yeah. And look at me, I'm a homemaker who can slap some flour together and make a bread. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what's happening for you at all. I'm just saying that for me, I realized that I don't actually enjoy making sourdough. Like I did it a couple of times and I was like, this is a lot of work for a little bit of output, like a little, like a beautiful result.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of work for just sustainable? Like
bread. Yeah. Yeah. And is this like in this season of life, what I actually want to be doing with my time and energy?
When I think like, that's exactly it is. It's meeting and holding space for that frustration of I actually do have the desire. Like I really want to find things that can kind of slow me down and like have me like working with my hands and like being in the kitchen more. Like I have that desire. And then I also have the reality of like, this doesn't fit into this season of life. Like, and just, yeah, like the kind of like paradox of that. And I feel like that is a reflection of many things in my life right now. I also appreciate that you shared, like, wait a minute, is this me just trying to kind of fit into that like identity of being like a crunchy mom and like a wannabe homesteader? And I've asked myself those questions because we also got chickens. I feel like I didn't share that on the last episode. So for those that don't know, and I haven't been on social media yet, so unless you're on my email list, you don't know, we got chickens. And I feel like that's like another one of those things of like, okay, wait, why am I actually doing this? Like, what's the true like rationale behind this? And am I any times almost teetering into this like performance of like, look at me, we got chickens. Look at me, I'm making sourdough now. Look at me, I'm whatever it's next on the list. And it's interesting to kind of witness myself and the thought process around that, because I think there's moments of that. But then when I actually kind of like sink into, okay, wait, what is like the deeper intention and like what's the bigger why behind it? And like I said, the sourdough, like an example, is the desire to want to kind of force myself to slow down and almost like have more ritual in the kitchen and like make things with my hands. Like I already really enjoy baking and I don't bake as much as I want to. We eat bread all the time. We eat sourdough all the time. Like I would love to be able to make that. Like of all the things to make, that's one thing that we are eating all the time, much like eggs. We eat eggs all the time. So the chickens did make logical sense, but it is a slippery slope when you start kind of reflecting on, wait, like, is this just almost like me trying to like grip on to this like sense of identity that I so badly want to belong to? I don't know if we've talked about that before, where like that sense of identity and that like sense of belonging. What am I trying to say here? Like just kind of like the context of that from a nervous system perspective and how it really is this survival response to fitting in. Because like if we, let me backtrack. What am I trying to say? I feel like this sourdough example is now a little bit fluffy for what I'm trying to share. But I think for a lot of people, we kind of try to cling on to these certain labels, say like crunchy mom. Let's just play with that one as an example. And I feel like you see this a lot in like the Facebook mom groups and stuff. So like you're trying to fit into this like crunchy mom Facebook group. And so now there's this like unwritten list of things that you kind of have to be doing or engaging in order to fit in. And as soon as you aren't doing those things, now you're an outlier and you don't fit in. And to our nervous systems, that's like a huge red flag. Like that's a huge threat. Like it doesn't feel safe if we are no longer fitting in and we've lost our sense of belonging. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I don't think the sourdough or the chickens are necessarily that. And at the same time, yeah, like maybe there's moments where I'm teetering into that. And so just again, holding both the duality, the paradox, it's constantly there.
Yeah. And I think there's a big difference. And I'm probably said this before, like the difference between fitting in and belonging, like the actual difference. Yeah. Wow. Right. Like fitting in is one thing and belonging is where you can like totally be yourself.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to fit into some mold, some label, some, you know, but in the world we live in where our communities kind of feel like, for me, my literal community feels small. And then you hop on social media and you're like, okay, where do I belong here in this giant like online world, online space? And yeah, it's easy to get sucked into like wanting to fit in or belong to, you know, those labels, the scrunchy mom club, the homemakers, the backyard chicken crew, you know. But yeah, I think that discernment is so important, and that's exactly what you're doing, is taking note of, you know, what is it that I truly desire here. And it's also like, where can I prune my life? Like, how can I make room for this? If it is something like with your sourdough example, you know, the deeper desire there sounds like you want more presence and time in the kitchen to work with your hands. And maybe like sourdough isn't the place to start. Like maybe it's something
too
different.
Big of a jump.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. And I think it's all about like, what's the feeling that you get when you're doing it? Like when you're out tending to your chickens, like, is it enjoyable? When I'm out in my garden playing in the dirt, like, am I loving it? Yes. I don't care if all my plants die and the slugs eat them all, which is currently happening. But it's because I love it so much and it feels so good.
Yeah.
So like, how can we, yeah.
Well, and I think, yeah, that bringing that intention back to more so like the feeling of when you, like the feeling that you get when you're doing that thing that you think you need to do. So if you can, if the goal now becomes just like experiencing that feeling and then detaching a little bit from whatever that like action was, I feel like that also just softens the entire body and system to like simplifying things. So yeah, like if my desire is like hands in the kitchen, kind of slowing down, I can do that just by like making like a box cake, right? Like it doesn't have to be, that's a super like drastic example, but like it doesn't have to be like 0 to 60. And yeah, and like even like, like it doesn't need to be this giant like billion square foot garden plot that is going to replace your entire like grocery list. It can literally just be like a hanging flower basket to start.
Yeah. And then, or even just shifting,
like watering it every morning.
Or even just shifting, like when you're already in the kitchen, you're already making breakfast for your toddler. Like, how can you bring more presence and awareness into those moments? You don't have to change anything. It's more about changing the internal experience of that.
Yeah.
To start. Rather than focusing on what is the thing that I need to make.
You mean like when I'm putting like a frozen Eggo in the toaster and like, but that's a perfect example. Like maybe you don't have to change anything. Maybe it's about like the frequency behind the actions you're already doing. And like toaster, frozen waffle toaster example is a perfect one because that action can very quickly like throw me into the shame spiral of like, oh, we should be eating better. I should have like, right? Like whatever the shoulds that come with that. And that's pulling me out of the frequency that we're talking about right now. So
And it's funny, like this the last few days I've been really focusing on the little like habits I want to change in the morning. Because mornings for me, I get really stuck in a loop and I'm not great at routine to begin with, unless it's like a bad routine. I'm really good at sticking with those. So I've been wanting to either shift my coffee, my morning coffee thing for a while. I've wanted to cut back on dairy just to try because of my Hashimoto's, gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, has really good results for a lot of people. So I'm on day two of kind of cutting back dairy a lot and then going totally gluten-free. Yeah, I've wanted to like either get rid of my morning coffee entirely or just shift it. So I started small. I shifted it. So I've switched to like a really good almond milk for now. And then I also bought this like, it's a delicious like coffee. It's got coffee in it. So it's not totally a coffee alternative, but it also has like adaptogens, lion's mane, MCT. So it's a nourishing drink. It's not just coffee. And that's, I think, really what I wanted was just something more nourishing that's going to give me something. So just that tiny act now. So instead of like using my little Nespresso machine where I pop a pod in and hit a button, now it's like, I have to warm up the water in the kettle. I have to sit, I like purposely stand there and wait for it to boil. And then I, you know, take my scoop and scoop my coffee mix in my cup. Like it's just such a different experience than the quick instant gratification of like popping that pod in and hitting the button. So I'm kind of trying to turn this into more of a ritual and just taking those few moments, literally few minutes at max to just kind of savor that time.
I love that so much. Like, I think there's medicine in all of these examples for like potentially anyone listening of like, what in your life are you already doing that you can either just kind of like soften into and bring more intention to and really just kind of like soften like the mind chatter that might be coming with it. Or like, what can you just shift? So like ever so slightly, right? Like, so instead of the coffee pod, now you're actually like forcing that slowdown even further because the kettle needs to boil and like all the other steps involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like when I'm drinking the coffee now, it's like, okay, I'm not going to just like warm this up, put it on a counter, forget about it because I'm doing 10 other things. It's like, wow. I've taken the time to make this beautiful drink. Like I'm going to sit here and savor it as best I can with a toddler.
But now you're not just running on autopilot anymore.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's it right there. And like what this really is, it's like shifting into that feminine energy, right? It's being versus doing. It's being in the moment, not just moving through the motions and doing 10,000 things at once.
That's perfectly said. And like something that I've played around with quite often, I don't actually remember where I heard this. I think it was in a book, but I can't tell you what book it is. So can't reference that. Sorry. But it was all about, I think, just like kind of bringing more intention into your life. And one of the things that really stood out to me was like, speaking of morning routine, like when you're getting ready in the morning, and like for me, that's like contacts in, face washed, teeth brushed. How often are you like brushing your teeth and like cleaning your counter or like trying to do something else? Or like for me, it's often like I'm getting dressed at the same time. Half the time I like stab myself with a toothbrush because I'm trying to put a shirt over my head. Like just that, like, can you just like pause enough to just brush your teeth and be present with like you taking care of your body and your teeth? And that has been huge. Like just that pause, that slowdown. It's a micro pause, right? We're not talking about adding this ginormous thing to your to-do list. It's already something you're doing, but now you're just like using it as a space to like reconnect with yourself.
Yeah. And like it's funny, like to me, my brain goes, oh, how can I be the most efficient in this moment? Like, how can I be efficient? I can brush my teeth. I can put my face cream on and I can like put a shoe on at the same time. Look at me go. I am so efficient. Yeah. And I remember like this memory just came into my mind as you were speaking. I remember on one of my elementary school, or probably all of my elementary school report cards, I think they like, in the beginning, they didn't give numbers or letters. They gave, I don't know. I can't remember what it was. Anyways, it said that I was very efficient and I got like the highest, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Under efficiency. And I like took that to heart.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, I am valuable if I am efficient. Yeah. And now like when I look around my life and see all the ways where I'm just constantly like, even when I'm at the gas station, when I'm at the gas pump, I hit the button. While it's waiting, I'm undoing the thing because that's efficient. I'm saving time. It's like, well, why can't I just wait the 3 seconds for the screen to shift?
That's bringing up so much because like talk about identity and trying to like fit in and to belong. So if you've now been praised for this level of efficiency, like you said, like you're going to continue to try to like maintain that. That's now this recognition you've received is like a reputation you want to maintain. And I just wanted to pipe in that like we're both projectors in human design, and as projectors, like being efficient is one of our like super skills. It's one of those things that like just comes naturally to us. So I'm not surprised that we're having this conversation and almost able to laugh about it, because being efficient and just kind of seeing like a bird's eye view of something and like just knowing exactly like how to get it all done, like that just happens to us naturally. And so like part of me is like, I don't want to squish that out of us, right? Because it's a beautiful gift. And it's obviously like, it's brought us to where we are today. I think about like how that skill was so useful in nursing and like what that looked like even going through like university and like just the amount of things that I could hold at once and like get done at once that like other people really struggled with. And it's kind of this fine line of like, cool, we're praised for that. And it sort of comes easy to us, but also like at what cost and what is it pulling us out of? So just loving this conversation of like, it's not even necessarily about changing the actions you're doing and like changing your to-do list. It's not even about like habit stacking or any of those like productivity hacks. It's really just about like the micro pause and like coming back to self.
Yeah. And Yeah. And I think it's just all about like awareness, like being aware of this, and discernment. Again, always awareness and discernment, you know, discerning when is this efficiency needed and when can I be like, okay, nervous system, it's okay. It's 8 a.m. We don't need to be efficient right now. Like you can stand here and wait for the kettle to boil. Like it's, you know, there's nothing unsafe in this moment. It's all good. You deserve the few minutes, you know, to do nothing and not be productive.
That's actually, so like I've been bringing more attention to when I'm feeling a sense of urgency and kind of allowing myself to zoom in on just what's going on for me when I'm feeling that sense of urgency. And of course, using that as an invitation, okay, like let's slow down, like almost forcing little speed bumps in those moments so that I have to slow down.
I like that, speed bumps.
But it's just so interesting how this, like, it's almost like elevator music playing in the background. Like it's just been my default setting where there's this sense of urgency. And I think part of it does come from, that praise growing up of like being efficient and like even in school, being the first one to get like an assignment done. Or like, again, thinking about nursing, like I was always kind of the first, like one of the first nurses to be done giving like all my morning meds. Like I was just always so efficient. And then that craving to want to maintain that reputation because of the praise and the external validation that comes with it. And then of course that spirals into our sense of like self-worth and how, oh shit, if we don't maintain that reputation of being efficient, then what does that mean about us? And like, will that ultimately lead to rejection and like people not loving us? And obviously that sounds really catastrophic in the context of these examples, but nervous system wise, like that's exactly what's going on when we talk about like that lack of safety and like the threat of slowing down. So anyways, I've been constantly this kind of like mantra to offset that buzzing elevator music is like, there's no urgency here. There's no urgency here.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Something else that's been coming up for me, and it kind of like plays into all of this, is just noticing how I am really, really struggling to, I guess ultimately it's like self-accountability, which is playing into like my sense of self-trust. And again, kind of using these moments when it kind of drops into my awareness as this speed bump of, okay, like here, let me slow down. This is a choice point where I can make a different decision here. But ultimately what keeps coming up is how I can be so accountable to other people. Like as an example, like if I have, okay, here's a perfect example. I can show up to these calls, these recordings, to create our co-created Musings and Magic series, but I can't for the life of me go on my laptop and record an episode on my own for my podcast right now. Like there is this ginormous block, and obviously there's more to it than that, but just recognizing that, how interesting that I can do it when I'm accountable to Lauren, but I can't do it just for myself. And that's showing up in like so many other areas where like there's things that like I kind of have this thought of, I want to do this, and then I don't do it. And then it's the, there, I let myself down again because I wasn't accountable to myself. And so I'm almost beginning to identify as this person that like doesn't do what she says she's going to do. And that's not who I want to be. So again, just kind of bringing in more speed bumps so that I can really notice when this is happening and use that discernment, like by being aware, using that discernment to make a different choice.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as always, it always comes back to the nervous system and like, why is that? Because it is kind of like, it's self-sabotage, right? Like you've got this plan and then you don't do it. And it's usually because the not doing it feels safe and comfortable and it's what you're used to. And the actual doing it is what feels so new and unsafe, for lack of a better word. And it's interesting you're talking about this, because I have this thought just yesterday because I mentioned I'm like trying to go gluten-free. So, which is a weird example because I don't want to like promote being restrictive and like, there's many reasons that I want to do this, blah, blah, blah. But I remember having a moment where I was making Zoe something. I think it was like little mini pizzas with these, this like pita bread with cheese and sauce and like throwing them in the air fryer. They looked so good. They smelled so good. And I was like, yo, you know what? I don't want to eat this right now. Usually I would like eat four while I'm making them for her. And I had this moment of being like, oh damn, like this is for my future self. Mm-hmm. And I can't even explain it properly because it was such like an embodied feeling and experience of being like, okay, like this is what it feels like to trust yourself and to do something for your future self. And again, like the words aren't doing it justice because it was such a like an inner felt experience of like, okay, it was kind of like a muscle that you have to kind of build and work out. And now it like feels really easy. It's like, oh no, I really want this. So yeah. The desire is there. Now I can like say to myself, no, I trust myself. I know I'm gonna
make the choices. We're able to connect that to self-trust.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to kind of explain here is how all these things that come up and like when I don't follow through or even my inability to make decisions, that's been coming up for me a lot too. And so like when that's happening, it's almost just more evidence piling on to, oh, I don't trust myself. So instead, what are some things I can do to start flexing mm-hmm. that muscle again yeah. and build that trust back up?
Mm-hmm. Really simple ways. Yeah.
I also love like with that example of making Zoe pizzas, when we're talking about efficiency, how inefficient that is. And so I bet there's a part of you that is like almost cringing at the fact that you are now making this separate meal for your daughter and you're going to have to make a separate meal for yourself, and how on paper inefficient that is, but like you're overriding that default need to be efficient, which is really yeah. beautiful. Celebrating.
Yeah. Thanks.
I feel like we just like listed off like a billion different examples, which I love. And it's like, wait a minute, are we like, is it making sense? Like, are people going to understand like how this truly does kind of reflect that sense of belonging and that self-worth and that self-trust and these really, really big things that are like deep and internal? I hope our examples are just kind of like bringing to light like how simple these things show up and like how simple it can be to begin to like flex that muscle and build those things back up, right? Self-trust, the self-worth, the sense of belonging, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think last time we were both sharing how, you know, we were having kind of like these struggles with body image. And for me in these last couple of weeks, I've like taken action on that. I've like taken better care of myself. I've put myself first. I've, you know, used family money to go and get my hair highlighted because I wanted to, and you know, and it made me feel good.
Yeah. Celebrating you because like you went and like made the hair appointment to go get like highlights that you've kind of been resisting for a little while. And you took mm-hmm. yourself out shopping on your quote unquote, like work day to go find like a bra that actually fits and like a new pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. And I know we were texting, I think one of those days, just around like how hard it can be not only to like spend money on those things, but also to take time out of your day to go do those things. And mm-hmm. now it's kind of making me just reflect on, well, yeah, because it's not efficient. So if our like default drive and desire and motivation is efficiency, those things aren't efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Going bra shopping, that's not efficient.
Oh, it's
that sounds like hell.
and like, yeah, like I don't want it to sound like
when you're spending money on that kind of thing, like I know for me, I often kind of like weigh out, oh well, like what else could I spend this money on, and like trying to justify what the best use of that money is. And often, like for me, it might not be hair. It might be like, okay, if I'm actually going to indulge, then maybe it'll be like a massage, or maybe it is like getting new clothes or whatever it is. And it's just so interesting because I think this is a very common mom thing to experience, that it teeters back into always pouring into others before we pour into ourselves. And what is that doing to our self-worth and our self-trust?
Yeah. And that's the thing right there. Like, I don't want it to sound like, oh, you know, I'm having a really bad body image week. I need to go get my hair highlighted and buy new clothes. Like that's
not that at all. Yeah.
We can, it's not that at all.
A disclaimer and explain more to that. Although I don't think you need to, I think.
No, but
listen, wouldn't interpret it as that.
Yeah. But it, like it's deeper than that. It was an indication that I really hadn't like taken the time to do the things that I enjoy, that I wanted to do too. It was also like a sizing issue. Like, my body is bigger and that's okay. It's time to buy pants that actually fit and not look at the little number on the tag and care about what it is. It's, you know, finding a bra that fits. Do I wear a bra most of the time? No, I'm usually braless, but when I want to look a certain way and go to a certain, you know, out to a certain place, I want to wear a nice bra that fits and like gets my boobs out of my pant waistband and back up onto my chest.
But like, I think what it is like we can hold on to this story, and I think you were noticing yourself going in that direction of attaching this story of like, oh, I don't love my body right now, like nothing feels good, nothing fits, yada yada yada, and like allowing that to spiral even deeper.
Yeah,
you recognized it and you're like, no, I'm gonna stop this. Like, I actually have responsibility here to make a choice. And this is what I'm talking about with that speed bump of like, hey, let's slow down, let's pause, let's actually reflect on like what the options are here. And obviously your options were just to continue following that story and like identifying with that story you were writing for yourself, or you got to like take the pen back and start rewriting script. And you did that. So you went out and like did the things that would actually feel good and like bought clothes for yourself that actually feel good on your body and fit you, just like you would obviously do for your child, right? Like, we don't make our children wear things that are too small or too big or have holes in it. We like brush our children's hair. Like, we prioritize all that stuff for them. So yeah, it's not about this like outwards identity. It's about like, how do we actually show ourselves love and like give ourselves like the same TLC, and like how those teeny tiny micro actions all add up and build up to a sense of like higher self-worth and a sense of higher self-trust.
Self-tending
and eating well and sleeping and like like brushing your teeth and just brushing your teeth, not doing a million things as you're brushing your teeth. Like, it's all the little things.
And it's all of those little things that so easily get dropped off the list when you're feeling at capacity, stressed out. And then it's just, it snowballs. It's like a negative feedback loop at that point, right? Like, totally, you start feeling worse and worse because you're not doing all these things to take care of yourself. And then it just snowballs into this feeling of blah.
I think it's maybe important to name too, that like when you are in a season of like survival mode, and when it is just like bare minimum, there's also opportunities there to still engage in these like micro moments of pausing and self-love and maybe even like indulgence. And that's going to look different. Like, you're maybe not actually getting yourself out of the house to go get your hair done when you haven't gotten your hair done in a couple of years, but maybe you're actually like spending more time alone in the shower, like putting a boundary down of like, I actually want to shower alone, like no toddler allowed this time, something like that, right? There's little things you can do to, I don't know, just honor yourself and essentially like put yourself first just for a moment. And like not be so focused on efficiency and like getting through that to-do list or proving something like outside of you, right? Like, that's where it gets really interesting, and that's where like the awareness is so potent, because you can start really beginning to witness like what's the actual like core desire and motivation behind the things I'm doing. Who am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? Why aren't I doing this? What's stopping me from doing this? Like, what are the stories coming up? what's that story serving? Like, what's that emotion or story that I'm witnessing in myself? What purpose does it have? I know that's a question that we reflect back to each other a lot of, like, okay, like, cool, you've just become aware of something that's happening for you. What's the purpose? And often when you can kind of name that purpose, it offers you this like massive dose of self-compassion for yourself. So you don't spiral into that like shame cycle and like start gaslighting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And there's just like so many ways to feel nourished, right? And that changes in the season you're in. Sometimes going to get your hair done feels nourishing. And sometimes just like sitting down and taking some deep breaths so you don't lose it on your kid feels nourishing. Yeah.
I'm trying to think how this all ties into the new moon energy. Because I started off kind of just referencing that like part of this new moon is that like buzzy and scattered feeling, and like I had reflected that I'm feeling like I have all these like loose threads and just almost feeling overwhelmed with like deciding what to pull on first, what to tend to. I think like the medicine here is coming back to like that awareness and discernment and creating spaces for speed bumps and the pruning and the nurturing and like the discernment that comes with deciding, hey, what needs to be pruned here? Where can I like level up my nurturing in this? In this season.
I was so distracted during that. You just said, I'm sorry. My cat is like scratching at the door. So he's sitting here watching a show really loudly. My brain is currently about to explode.
Too many things. Breath together.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yep.
Yeah, isn't it so funny how good that always feels and how that's the first thing to go, right? That is always the first thing to go is like, have you even breathed today?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Have you, one of my favorite questions is like, have you felt your heartbeat today?
Yeah, I like that question.
Because
that takes a lot of.
Like, oh, shit, no. And so again, that's kind of become part of my teeth brushing practice is like, can I just like sit with myself for these like micro moments of things that I'm already doing? Like we said, it's not about adding to your to-do list. It's not about even changing your to-do list, but just incorporating more being into your doing.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
I love that too, because I think we can get kind of wrapped into this, oh, more being and less doing. And I feel like even that idea is hard and daunting because it almost suggests that you're taking things off your to-do list when really can you just infuse more being into your doing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's going to look different for everyone too, right? This isn't like a one size fits all, and it's going to look different in each season too. What worked yesterday might not work tomorrow. And there's buttloads of frustration with that. But there's also like an opportunity for buttloads of self-compassion and self-trust to, yeah, just kind of prioritize that. Anything else coming up for you? Any intentions you want to declare and kind of set out loud for this season, cycle, whatever you want to call it?
I feel like it's always the same.
Well, that's fine. Like, continue to just like anchor into that, then, right? Like, I think I actually love that you just named that, because I feel like for a lot of people, that in itself can kind of like trigger that shame spiral of like, oh, well, I just haven't accomplished the thing I set up to do. Well, no, like, it's not an overnight change. It's not like, it's not necessarily going to happen in the timeline that we think it's going to. So of course you're allowed to just like anchor into it again and again and again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think like my intention is to continue to like have harder boundaries around the days and times where I am mom and the days and times where I'm doing work or more like creative projects, which as I'm saying that, I'm like, well, I'm always doing all of them all at the same time, but then both kind of lose out, right? Then I'm not as present with Zoe. And then I'm, you know, I'm not as creative because I'm my focus is elsewhere, like right now, which is okay. But I think overall, like, I want to focus more of my work on, you know, the few days where I actually can leave her with someone and be fully present with my work and projects. And then when I'm with her, can be fully present and playing with her. We just got a giant trampoline and stuck it in the middle of our forest.
Love that.
And it has been so much fun for both of us. Like, she's obsessed with it. And I'm talking about like being present with her. And right now she's like whining behind me, wanting my attention. Oh, the hypocrisy and duality. And
funny rule like applies to this too, right? Not just food.
But yeah, I think what happens when I feel my energy in two places is that then everything becomes frustrated. Like even right now, I'm like, oh, feeling resentment. Like, why can't I just have this hour to do this one thing? And that's not how I want to go through my day. That's not the energy I want to bring to this. And it's not the energy I want to bring towards my family either. So for me, that's the intention, is like how to have some harder boundaries around, you know, this is work time. This is being a mom time. Yeah. But of course, letting it flow and groove and, you know, be molded by what's happening and what's needed. So more presence in whatever it is I'm doing.
And I actually love that you're kind of like renaming this intention after we've just kind of gone in so many directions around this theme of efficiency, because I think,
yeah,
like this idea of like multitasking, which we have been praised for and ultimately is coming out of this like desire and motivation to be efficient, isn't actually efficient, right? Like it's,
yeah,
like you just named, like it's actually meaning you're less present in both, and that's not supportive to anyone, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what we're kind of trying to allude to in like the example of just being more present when you're brushing your teeth or taking like the extra 30 seconds to stand with your kettle as it's boiling. It's just these opportunities to fully be present in that experience and really almost allowing yourself to like romanticize them. I feel like there's a lot of, one of my favorite books is The Healing Power of Pleasure. And I love it because it really just kind of opens the narrative about where we can experience pleasure in our lives, not just like in a sexuality context, but like in literally every moment of your life. And a big part of it is taking those pauses and really opening up your senses, allowing your senses to heighten and like take everything in. And we can't do that if you have a million tabs open all the time and you're trying to do everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that was just a little long-winded way to say I love that intention, and I'm holding that with you. I think what I want to bring forward is just my intention to just really flex that like self-trust muscle a little bit more and begin to follow through on the things I say I'm going to follow through on without shaming myself or gaslighting the experience when like it doesn't happen. And I think that's the hard part, is like holding space for it all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the fact that my awareness to it has expanded and like I'm just seeing it more clearly, it already makes it a little bit easier to now actually make a different choice around it. And like you said, like it's awareness and discernment. It starts with, okay, are you aware? And can you kind of like zoom out enough to see it happening? Can you be this radical witness to the experience that you're having, to the emotions you're feeling, and to the stories that you're telling yourself, and kind of begin to
dissect and unravel and
yeah,
back together again in the way that you want it, right? So
yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing for me. And yeah, obviously that can show up in really teeny tiny ways, and that's probably the way to start, right? Like when we talk about titrating our nervous system, taking that big leap often is a little bit too much. So taking teeny tiny leaps and I wanted to comment on the piece around presence and how, like, even you today feeling like you're pulled in two places because you're also watching Zoe, and that means you're not fully present here and you're not fully present with Zoe. I know you and I were starting to have a conversation just around the hiccups of even trying to record this episode and how we've maybe been putting too much pressure on ourselves to be recording like right on the actual date of the new and full moon. So I think this is a beautiful invitation for both of us to write our own rules here and like decide what this can look like going forward. Right. So maybe that looks like knowing when we both have some child-free time and scheduling these calls then, but continuing to anchor them around whatever was closer, right? The new moon or the full moon. So still anchoring into those energies, but releasing that pressure of a date on the calendar.
And I think that's it right there. We get to make our own rules and allow it to match the capacity and the season that we're currently in. And I'm sure it'll shift again in a few weeks, months.
Love that we can rewrite the rules together, my friend.
I'm still just loving that question of, have you felt your heartbeat today? I'm just gonna like bring that into my day today. And the other question that I really love, in those moments of like, when you are aware of those moments of kind of self-sabotage, or like, you know, I said I was gonna do this thing and I'm right now in this moment, I wanna do something different. It's like, can you pause in that moment and can you ask yourself, like, what do I actually need right now? Like, what is feeling so uncomfortable about doing this thing? What do I need right now? And just taking a moment to kind of feel into that, not from the mind, because it's so easy to overanalyze every single thought, feeling, motion. But in my body, what do I need right now? Do I need to rub my chest and show my body that, okay, this anxiety that's here, it's okay. You can be here. It's okay. Like, just let it be here. We're so quick to like think our way out of it before actually feeling through it. Even like with, you know, we were talking about, oh, it feels so good to take a deep breath. And I think sometimes we use that as a way to distract from feeling the actual feeling of anger, frustration, whatever it is. It's like, oh, you need to regulate yourself. You need to breathe through it. But really what we're doing is we're breathing and stopping the feeling.
I love that you just brought that up, because I mean, this has definitely been something that I've been working on. And I think it's really common is we totally pathologize, not just our nervous system response, but just like so many of our emotions, and we kind of label them as good or bad, right? And so all those bad emotions, we can be so quick to try to fix them and get rid of them. And you're right. Yeah. Like sometimes that deep breath is our like default. This is kind of like, it's almost like slapping a Band-Aid on it in a more holistic way, of course. It's like, slap a Band-Aid on this emotion because I don't want to feel it right now. So I'm going to breathe my way through it so it goes away faster. That's not actually feeling and being with and holding space for that emotion.
And like sometimes that's needed for sure. Sometimes you need to do that. So you don't lose it on your kids. So you don't like whatever it is. But if you're not, that emotion is still there. It's still trapped. It's still that fight response, whatever it is, it's still in there and it needs to move. It needs to come through. So if you can, you know, slap a Band-Aid on it for the moment, knowing that you're going to give yourself some space in a few minutes to lock yourself in the bathroom and actually sit with it and cry and clench your fist and push on the wall, whatever it is to allow that energy to move.
Yeah.
that still needs to be part of it.
Yeah. So good. I think too, just like, I know I've really anchored into that practice when, especially during like nap time. So on the days when Aubrey's still napping, that moment of like, oh, I have like a moment of free time. What do I want to do? It can obviously be so quick. It can be easy to like just quickly move through my to-do list and want to get as much done as possible. Yeah. And instead, I ask myself, like, what would be most nourishing right now? Mm-hmm. But I love that you are just giving that reminder of like asking your body that, not your mind.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there. And I want to just give even a better example for those that have a hard time connecting to their body. And that's something that you do in your somatic sessions, at least the ones I've had with you, is like asking, like what feels lit up in your body right now. I think that's word it. And I know when I use that language and I ask myself that it kind of forces me to actually do like this mini body scan of like, oh yeah, like where in my body is calling for my attention, and can I give it that attention? And of course, yeah, like, have I heard my heartbeat today? Like, that's beautiful too, because it, again, just like in order to feel your heartbeat, you really need to calm the mind down and become fully present with yourself. So, I mean, there's so many different strategies, right? It's not a one size fits all.
Yeah. It's all a practice too. Like, for some, the thought of listening to their body is just like completely foreign and unattainable right now. And that's okay. It's a practice.
I think like another simple one is kind of like the, what is it, like the 5-4-3-2-1, like five things you can hear, 4 things you can see, 3 things you can feel, like that kind of practice, like traditionally like a mindfulness practice. But that's essentially what we're talking about, is like, how can it's heightening your senses, and it's also like turning the volume down on the mind. So in whatever way you need to do that, that's our medicine for you today. Is incorporate that a couple more times in your day. And it can sometimes be as simple as just like feet on the earth, like literally like 2 seconds. Like, can you just like be outside and like actually like feel the sun on your body and like the cold grass on your feet, or whatever sensations are happening in the world that day. But
yeah, I think that's those are two great questions to kind of leave you with.
Yeah.
Like, what does my body need right now? And have you felt your heartbeat today?
Shall we leave it at that?
I think we should. Zoe thinks we should too.
Alrighty. Bye, Lauren, and bye, friends. We'll talk to you guys sometime near the full moon.
Yeah. And if anything resonates, as always, send us a message. We love to hear from you.